kids are bearing more kids as well. We have three native Brazilian missionaries. Well, aren't you a native Brazilian missionary? I am. But they're native Indians. They actually are the only ones that can go into the jungles. They have permission from the chief and all of that. So we have that. We have two that are overseas. We have other missionaries. The rest of them are all in Brazil. And again, these missionaries are supporting other missionaries, and the story goes on and on, because that's how the Lord does. That's how missions is done around the world at the same time. Even as we're here, others are preaching the gospel right now. So thank you for being part of that. For sake of time, if you just turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, I'll just read verses 35 through 38. You may remain seated again for the sake of time. Thank you, Pastor, for again accommodating us here in every aspect. We're really enjoying our stay once again here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Just want to bring a few thoughts from the Word of God tonight. You know what? Let's take it back. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I think it would be a good opportunity for you to stretch a little bit, if you can, if you're physically able, okay? Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the wonderful salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be your servants, your missionaries, your children, and knowing the truth and sharing the truth. That's a tremendous responsibility and blessing. So tonight, Lord, as we look once again into your word, this very familiar passage of scripture, we pray that your Holy Spirit will bring conviction to our hearts of the need of being more involved in missions, both locally and around the world. So we pray that your Spirit will remind us through your testimony, Jesus Christ, tonight, and may your name be exalted and lifted up, and I pray that you continue to be with this dear church as they go about giving the gospel here as well. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here we have Jesus Christ, the Master. We have pastors, we have teachers that have taught us the Word of God, and that's wonderful for those who truly preach the Bible. But just to hear straight from Jesus would have been a special treat. Of course, every time we open the Scriptures, we're hearing from Him. But here we have Jesus Christ Himself showing His disciples, talking to His disciples about missions. If you think about it, He's using the multitudes as sort of like an object lesson. I think they're trying to find me here. Object lesson. He's pointing to them, and notice there's a lot of people. He didn't say multitude, He said multitudes, plural. There are a lot of people He's pointing out there, and He's saying, "Hey, disciples, listen to this. This is what it's all about." Now, for those of you who have the fancy Bible, as my pastor says, you see the red letter edition there, 37, the word of the Lord, the words of the Lord Himself, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." So I can picture Jesus just pointing out there to all the multitudes and turning to them and saying, "Hey, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, in contrast, are few." You know, if it was few, the laborers were great, you know, the harvest was plenteous then and the laborers are few then. Can you imagine today? We have a lot more people in the world. The growth has been exponential. And the competition, the temptation, the job offers, the careers have moved people away from missions, Praise the Lord for those who are involved in missions, the young people who are training to be missionaries and all of that. But it's a rare breed anymore. So the concern that Jesus Christ himself had then is the same concern we as Christians have to have. So he gives us here, as we look into this example of Jesus Christ, we learn that to do missions, you have to do three things, for lack of a better keyword, okay? Think about three things. First, you must go. Notice that in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. So notice that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, small places and larger cities. Like I told you about Sao Paulo, 36 million people. Our hometown is close to 2 million people. That's a lot of people for compared to some cities even in America. Where we're at, you see the new place where our church is about 140,000 people, but when the summer comes, it goes to over 400,000 people. And so the Lord sent us there because people are coming to visit. It's a tourist city. People are coming. It's a resort area. The world is coming to us. We're supposed to go to the world, but the world is coming to us just like America. Now, when we're here, we always keep perk up, you know. See, here's Spanish. I speak some Spanish. I'm trying to improve, but it's, like I said, it's very close to Portuguese. If I have to point them to Christ, I can do that by his grace and help. I can read Spanish. You can give me a gospel tract, and I by the way, I carry those gospel tracts in that language, so I can read that and point them to Christ. But you'll be in Brazil. Invariably, you will see people speaking English, Spanish, or French in that area because of the resort area. But here, as we're here, we want to be missionaries as well. We're not on vacation. We try to reach folks here. And when we find a Brazilian, then it's a treat. Sometimes you have to go to a Brazilian steakhouse to find them, you know. But I'm always there on a mission, you know. Just like I am when I have these tracks here. I have English track, Spanish, Chinese track, I'm sorry. And I have Spanish track. So by now you know what kind of foods I like. I call it the track attack, you know. If they take your money, they can take your track, right? Pastor just shared a track this morning. It was wonderful to see. You know, sometimes we are, you know, we got so caught up in the, we leave things, but it's always nice to give the extra. But if you are doing this, praise the Lord. But I encourage you to go do more, like we try to do more. You know, go to a toll booth, give the gospel track. I had only one. We've been here for about a year now traveling. I had only one gospel track turned down on the toll booth. The guy purposefully let it slip. And it flew by. He says, I'm trying to do a work here. I almost told him, so am I. But you know what? Literally, he just slipped, let the salvation gospel message slip from his fingers right there. So hopefully somebody picked it up. Hey, you dropped something, you know. I don't know. But and then on the other hand, we were driving the other day, this place, and I gave this track to this man at the toll booth, and he looked and says, oh, it talked about the Romans road. And he goes, I can quote back all these verses to you. I'm a Christian. Oh, amen, brother. Praise the Lord. I said, well, I'm a missionary. I just stopped over here to fill up and gas up. And I was in the church, blah, blah, blah. And I told him, I said, okay, you're a missionary? Yeah, to Brazil. Oh, wonderful. So he looks up there and he takes his hat off. Let's have a word of prayer. He came out of the booth, and he prayed, Pastor, such a prayer. That man was a very devout Christian, maybe a deacon, maybe some. He really prayed, Lord, bless this missionary wherever he goes. Protect him and his wife and the people of Brazil. We were, wow! See, I wouldn't have even gotten that prayer if I hadn't given him a gospel tract. Yeah, so it's wonderful, and there's so many stories I could tell you about this. So I do invite you to be involved in what I call track attack. So I don't mean by getting the gospel track and attacking people with a machine gun, gospel machine gun, or pushing it down their throat, It will eventually reach their heart that way. You know? But that's not what we're talking about. Have you ever played Uno Attack? There's a button there. You push the button. Every once in a while, those cards will fly at you. That's what I'm talking about. Everywhere you go. I feel like I'm missing something if the Lord doesn't, if I don't give a gospel tract to a person in a certain situation. So, because I pray to do that. And I'm not saying that as a vainglory. Just I want to exalt my Lord. And I want you to be involved. And sometimes people are shy. And somebody said, buy a parrot and train the parrot to give the gospel tract. To give the gospel message, okay? And then put the parrot on their shoulder. And then when it's time for the parrot to talk or to give the gospel, you ask the parrot will give the gospel. And then you get the gospel tract and put in the parrot's beak. You know? And then when it's time to give the gospel tract, the parrot can do it. You know? And if you do that, the parrot is going to get all the blessings, you know? But you don't have to go that far. Okay, it would be nice to have a parrot that could give the gospel to. Put him on automatic, auto mode, you know, just give the gospel everywhere instead of saying nonsense. But anyway, now seriously, to do missions, you must go, and as you go, you try to meet people. And praise the Lord for those who are going to the field. There's a great turnover. You know, missionaries get sick, they get old, they die, and, you know, so... I crossed that line of the 50-year-old now. I'm 52, okay? And I'm always looking for new blood to come and join us in Brazil or in America. I already did a pitch on your son who's preparing, but he's going to somewhere else. I said, hey, but leave the door open. Always looking for a replacement or not a replacement, but people to join us there. So to do missions, you must go. And again, we're grateful for those who left America and Germany to come and lead our families to the Lord. So we want to keep seeing that happen in Brazil and around the world. So to do missions, first of all, you must go. Second, you must see. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. See, he went there preaching the gospel in the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the people, and Jesus, better than anyone else, could see the hearts, amen? So he saw that, but he's showing us, giving us the example. As a human, as he was as well, he was saying, hey, we have to have compassion, a feeling of sympathy for those who are lost. We might think, well, that person's doing well physically, not spiritually, but emotionally or financially, has a good career, good business, they're doing okay. We don't have to worry about that. I remember years ago when we were teaching English there before we became full-time missionaries, I had one particular man. Did you remember seeing the big fish there? That was from his company. He's got a fishing company with big boats that go high seas and catch all these big fish. One time we went there to see it. There were eight. This is no fisherman story, okay? Eight men carrying that one fish without the sword, four on either side. That's okay. So this man makes big bucks. He ships, he exports fish and everything everywhere in the world. But he wouldn't go to our church. He claims to be a Catholic man. He wouldn't go to our church. But you know what? He would go to our little school where he could learn English to make more money. So every time I had an opportunity, I would witness to him. He was paying me to teach him the language. But every time I had the opportunity, he asked me questions. I wouldn't give him my opinion per se, but I would give him what the Lord says. Anyway, one time I remember clearly, never forgot this. He said, you know, I don't need your God. I'm rich. I help the poor. I'm very healthy. I walk 2 hours every day after work. I only eat fish. Poor guy. I'm from a steak state in Brazil, so I feel bad for him that way too. I don't need your God. Can you imagine somebody come to you and say, I don't need your God? You know, there are a lot of people like that, and they're just like the Bible describes here. They faint, and they're scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They think they got it made, but if they don't have Jesus Christ, they have nothing. We had a young man in our church that grew up with us. He made a profession of salvation. I baptized him years ago. And after a while, I believe we were on furlough here, he left the church. And I asked his dad, what is he doing? Oh, he's helping his uncle. And then it turned out that he told me later that his uncle was a Catholic man and he was going to the Catholic church. I said, why are you doing that? You know what they're teaching there? He said, well, I really need to help my uncle. I really need to help my uncle. And so I just prayed for him. And just recently, this was years later, recently I found out that he posted there on that Facebook thing. He posted that he was baptized in white magic. That's a spiritualist. It's called Umbanda in Portuguese, the African type of a cult. With spiritism, involved with spiritism. He was being baptized by that person. He was so proud and talking about how God was wonderful. They named him Oshun or Ogun. It's an African name for a god, false god. And he says he was so happy. You know, and he talked like, so I went down to see a few other things that he had posted. Praise God, and we pray for you, and God bless you. They don't believe in Jesus, but they believe in God. So from that point on, I got under more conviction that we need to clearly point people to Christ. They need to know who Christ is. If you say just, I want you to see God. Oh, yeah, God is wonderful. They'll never be born again because God for them can be anyone, anything. Okay, so I just want to share that with you, that we need to point people to Christ. And that's why Christ is here, and he has shared with us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to his Father but through him. So we preach Christ. We want people in Brazil to know Christ. So to do missions, Jesus himself tells us that you must go. Second, you must see, and by the way, if you don't go, you won't see. Sometimes you might go and see people, but don't not care about it, not be concerned about that. You know, the Lord is talking about being compassionate, having a feeling, a sympathy. You know, today we talk about, if I tell my wife I love her from the bottom of my heart, she knows I mean it. You know, you have your Valentines with all these hearts and everything. Today the seat of emotion is your heart. But back then, the seat of emotion, that word, compassion, comes from the word bowels. Doesn't sound very well, very good today, right? I love you from the bottom of my bowels. It's not good, okay? But just for the sake of comparison, it's like the heart, okay? So it's something that came from the heart, the desire. And once you do that, see, if I tell her I love her, she knows it to be true. So when I have a desire that comes, the compassion is desire that comes, that's real. Let me put it that way. That's real. We really care. We know that people who are lost, if they don't have Christ and they die in that condition, they will burn in hell eternally. I mean, they'll burn and never stop burning. They will be in a torment forever. I trust that you are here tonight, that you have Christ as your Savior, because there is no other way. I was just telling the kids there, making up about this aspect of Jesus Christ being the door, and I told them to go out of this to the hallway, you go through that double door. But what if I said, well, you can go through here? So I walk up there, and they just bump my head, and I said, you see, let me try again. Okay? So I can't go through this door, through this wall here. Okay? And I said, you know, that's what people are doing when they say you to go to heaven, you can choose any door you want. There is only one door, the double door, and that door is Jesus Christ. So we need to point people to Christ. They need to understand that. And so Jesus had compassion because these people fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They have nowhere to turn to, and like they might be very well, like I said, in all these areas, but if they don't have Christ, they're hopeless. They're dead spiritually. There's no spiritual life in them. They need Christ. People need the Lord. We sing about that, and that's our concern. So to do missions, first you must go, second you must see, and then I'll close with the third part here. You must pray. Go, see, and pray. Look at verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Notice that there is an imperative, there is an order in verse 38. He says, pray ye therefore. Every time we see the word therefore, we need to see why it's therefore or what it's therefore. It's connecting to the previous context. So here's the Lord saying, hey, look at the multitudes. Look how lost they are. Look how miserable they are. And I have compassion for them. The harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few, so pray. See, you go and you see, and then you pray. The Lord of the harvest said he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Not mommy and daddy, not grandparents, no church pastor. Nobody's sending anybody. God must send them. So just in closing here regarding prayer, first pray to the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest. It's his ministry. He is the one in charge. We don't have any power as missionaries, as pastors, as deacons, Sunday school teachers. We need God's power, so we need to be in touch with the Lord of the harvest. Second, pray for those who are in the harvest now. Some of them are being persecuted. Some of them are discouraged. Some of them are homesick and for many reasons. Pray for those who are in the harvest. Third, pray for those who are going to the harvest. Some of us, like us, on furlough now, people on deputation. I met a couple that they were expecting their first baby, and they were only 10% support, Pastor. These days, with all the temptations that, like I said earlier, that are out there, good jobs, good positions, good careers, they can give up. Man, this is too hard to raise the support. So we need to pray that churches will see the need of supporting missionaries prayerfully and also financially. So pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray for those who are in the harvest now. Pray for those who are going to the harvest. And also pray for those who might respond to the call to go to the harvest. In a service like this, perhaps, or we're talking about missions. We're thinking about missions. Or in the church like this dear church that has these missionaries, a missions-minded church, a missions-minded pastor. You know, pray. Pray. There's a lot of praying we see there. So to do missions, you must go see and pray. And I remember when I was on deputation years ago, this elderly lady told me something I never forgot. I don't know who she is anymore. I don't remember her. I don't remember where this was, but it stuck to me. Maybe you're here. I don't know. She said, Brother Silvera, get as much prayer support as you can get, and everything else will fall into place. So by God's grace, we can testify, we're living testimony of this, that God has taken care of us all these years, and by his grace we'll continue on until the Lord calls us home or he comes to pick us up. But we want to serve him. We want to continue ministering to him. So do pray for Brazil. We have a very good president now. His four scriptures. He's a Christian man. He claims to be a Christian. He was baptized in the Jordan River, of all rivers, just to make sure. And he's married to a Baptist lady, so she'll fix him. He came out of Catholicism, but Catholicism hasn't quite come out of him in his speeches, you know. They call him Tropical Trump. I don't need to say anything more about him, right? He even tweets. He's got everything. He's to the point. Honestly, he's doing a very good job. He's making Brazil great again. I don't want to be political, but he's making Brazil great again because he did away with a bunch of stuff that they had in public schools. He had all those manuals on how to choose what you want to be kind of stuff, how to do things safely and all of that. He wiped all of that from the public schools in Brazil. And like I mentioned before, he's wanting to do other things there. So do pray for Brazil and continue to pray for our ministry. Help us in prayer as we prepare, as we wrap up our stay here. Last night, we purchased the tickets to go to Brazil, December 10th. So it's just around the corner. Just have a few more meetings. We have a lot of packing to do and a lot of sorting out. So we thank you so much for being part of our ministry. And we pray for you as a church, and you are on our list. So again, thank you so much, Pastor.